But one of the things God called himself, I call myself a couple things when I look in the mirror sometimes, and especially if I know Jesse's listening, because to me, it's funny. That's just funny to me, is to hear when I know she's in earshot. And then if she doesn't say anything, it defeats the whole purpose. You're like, I'm not talking just to hear myself speak. I'm talking for a reaction. If you don't give it to me, then I have to take it up to the next level. Anybody ever? Anybody? Okay. All right. You know, Deborah knows this because she's the funniest person in her family, too. I'm the funniest person in my family. Jesse's a close second. Not that close. But, you know, she's there. She is hilarious. She is really funny. But just in a different way. But God called himself the physician. He said he is a physician. So I just, you know, I like words. I like their meanings. I like to look them up. And so, you know, we know what physician means, but I looked it up and in the dictionary, it said a person who is skilled at the art of healing. Jesus was saying, I am skilled at the art of healing. Yeah. He created the body. Why would he not be skilled at fixing it? You know, those who designed the Model T, they could fix the parts that were wrong. Why? Because they knew it inside and out. Now, a lot of people that drove the Model T didn't know how to fix something if it broke down. You and your car may not know how to fix something if it breaks down, but there is a designer who knows everything about the car. They know every piece, every function, every nut, bolt, screw, whatever it is, they know it. Why? Because they are the designer. God is the designer of our bodies, and he is the one that knows it inside it out, and there is no better art at healing than he is. Oh, I am preaching up here at this level. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about the healing power of God. And I just expect people to get healed in service, not for me praying. We'll lay hands on you at the end. We'll have everybody in this whole place lay hands on each other at the end. And if you have any need, we'll pray and believe God with you. But I believe some of you are just going to notice a change in your body as we're talking about it. Why? Because when you talk about God, he shows up. When you keep God in the forefront, he shows up. He was always there, but then we begin to acknowledge him. He's always there. Can I tell you this? I had somebody tell me one time that a certain brand of vehicle that they drive is so popular now that they got it. And I said, well, let me just ask this. Maybe they were always there, but because you now have it, it's in your forefront, and now you just see them everywhere where you ignored them all the time. That's the same way with God. He is always there, but when we begin to acknowledge him in all our ways, it says he will begin to direct our path. Why? Was he not always there? Yes, he was. But what's the difference? We begin to acknowledge him in all our ways. And that is human nature. We ignore a whole lot of things. But when we begin to acknowledge it, we see it everywhere it is. So when we begin to acknowledge God, God is everywhere and involved in everything. But when we acknowledge him, that is the moment he's able to direct our path in every area. Can I tell you something? As a Christian, you can get saved and be on your way to heaven and never experience any other goodness of God. Why? Because we only acknowledge him in salvation. But we can acknowledge him in every area of our life, and he can direct us in every area of our life. As Raj was talking about, we can acknowledge him in finances, and he can direct us in finances. Healing, and he can direct us in healing. And can I tell you this too? God may direct you in a manner that he doesn't direct everyone else. Do you know God heals in more than one way? He heals in more than one way. And there's also a healing that I think we need a lot of times that we may not even talk about because we talk about healing and we believe body, right? But then that's where I'm going to focus on is any pains, any ailments, any sicknesses that are in your body. But he also said, Jesus, one of his anointings, one of his things, I come to heal the brokenhearted. So when I asked, how many of you know what you're good at? And only like five hands went up. So I'll ask it again next time and say, how many of you know what you're good at? And you all know what you're good at. I heard one time they said, never do what you're good at for free. So one time I did something, just said, you did a good job. I said, that I'll send you my bill. I was told never to do that for free. And then she told me she would send me hers, and I figured she's better at things than I am, and it would cost me more. So I did it pro bono. But in all of this, let's talk about the healing of God. How many of you, let's talk about the three different styles or types of healing of God. We have medically, how many of you have been healed medically? Oh, I'm there with you. How many of you ever had stitches? Oh, there's a lot more of you than I expected. How many of you ever had a broken bone? There's a lot more of you than I expected. We swung from the chandelier. Y'all must be Pentecostal. I see that. That must be your problem. Y'all are a pretty wild bunch. I've experienced that too. How many have had minor surgery? Okay. How many of you have major surgery? Oh, there's plenty of you. How many have had cosmetic? No, I'm just kidding. if you know a good doctor, let me know. I turned 37 and I started noticing like the Grand Canyon running across my forehead. I'm like, dear Lord, what happened here? I got to stop laughing so much and smiling apparently. It wears on the body after a while. But we've all experienced, I believe, medical healing. There's natural healing. And yes, I do. But you know, there's some things naturally you could do for your body. And I do. I take certain things. Now, let me tell you something. I don't put my faith and trust in those things. I've tried them. I use them. If there's anything good I can do, I do it. And if there's anything that seemed to have helped me, I will continue to use that. There's natural, but there's also naturally in the body, we are built to heal ourselves. Have you ever cut yourself and then it stopped bleeding? Okay, you can thank God for that because we were designed to stop bleeding. I had someone tell me one time, that's an evolutional trait. No, we would have all died out. We wouldn't have had time. They tell us evolution is over hundreds of thousands of millions of years. You poke your finger one time on a bush, you're dead. Evolution doesn't have time to catch up with us. And I don't know any child that hasn't scraped their knee. Everyone would have died from the beginning. There would have never, ever been a moment to catch up. God designed our bodies to heal themselves. Very thankful for that. I have noticed that my body doesn't heal itself as quickly as it did when I was in my 20s. Now, thankfully, I'm in good shape, relatively. Round is a shape. And it is a good shape. I'm in good shape. I don't have the ailments that I've heard a lot of people have. I even had someone tell me one time, oh, Pastor, my 30s. And they were getting up and they're like, my knees are popping. My back is hurting. My lower back is hurting. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You're 30. What do you expect 80 to be? I'm like, there's something wrong. You need to fix this now. This is horrible. I'm like, well, you don't experience this? I'm like, no. I'll tell you, fried chicken, all those joints up. That's what you need. You need more oil in your diet. That's the problem. You need to grease up all those joints that move. That's what they do for trucks. They grease the joints. Helps them last longer. Now, that is not medical advice. Please don't take it. Be led by the Spirit of God. But there's natural healing. There's medical healing. And then there's supernatural healing. There's miraculous healing. How many has experienced miraculous healing in their body? A number of you, I've experienced miraculous healing in my body. The fact that I split my leg open, 120 plus stitches, cut from my ankle to my knee. I don't remember how old I was. I was young. I'd have to ask my mom to refresh my memory. But I almost died. I almost bled completely out. I even remember having a temperature as a kid. And I was taken to the hospital. And I don't remember much. I was in and out. Now, they used to do this. They don't do this anymore from what I understand from a medical purpose. But they would dump ice. I remember them packing ice underneath my arm. I remember freezing. And then they threw a blanket on me. I'm like, well, that's not good. Your purpose is to freeze me, and now you're trying to keep me warm with a blanket, ice under the... That doesn't work, people. Thank you for somewhat... I don't know what their thought process was. But I remember the doctor. I remember the doctor talking to my mother and my father, and I remember the doctor saying, do you believe in God? And they said, yes. And they said to them, you better reach him now, because if he goes up anymore, he's done. He's done. It's over for him. His temperature is so hot that if he goes up a couple more point of a degrees, not even a whole degree, they said, your son is fried. It's over. So if he goes up anymore, it's over for him. You better reach God and you better reach him now. And I just remember my parents, they were Pentecostal. They just began to pray in tongues and shout. My mom crying and Lord, and my daddy going off, we command this body. I seen thee in thy body, thine own blood polluted. And I said, alive. And you know, my daddy's praying, my mama's praying. That's all I remember. I remember my daddy shouting and kind of shaking me a little bit. You know, Pentecostals, they have to shake you. And they can't pray for you without jerking you around a little bit. I don't know why, but that's just the way it is. And so I remember him praying, and I remember, you know, supernatural, my temperature began to drop. Nothing was working. The ice wasn't working. Nothing was working. They began to lay hands on me and pray. There was a sense of desperateness in them, and they reached God, and healing came to my body. But we could go over story after story after story of miraculous healing. Oh, one time I was trying to impress. This was at a church function. I did a backflip. I don't do those anymore. Randy did back, and I landed on my leg wrong, my foot wrong, and I crushed. I found out later, I didn't know this, but I destroyed the cartilage in between my ankle, my foot, and my leg. I destroyed the cartilage in my ankle. And so by the time I finally went to the doctor, he told me, he says, what medical care do you have? And I said, none. And he said, well, you're done. He's like, that doesn't grow back. It, you know, once you destroy cartilage, you're over. It's surgery. So if you can't afford it, here's a cast. I'll give this one to you. And he gave me a cast. And I had to preach the next Sunday, that coming up Sunday. And I just remember I could barely put any weight on it. And I hobbled around. And some of my friends that I won't name called me names and made fun of me because I was limping and would not hang out with me. They said, no, we don't even want to walk with you. You stay back and you can catch up with us, because I remember going to a movie with them. No one that may or may not be here today did that. But may, you know, we don't know. But in all of this, I remember one service I'm preaching. And so I come out early. I get there before everybody shows up, because I don't want somebody to see me hobbling, right? And so I sit down, and it's my turn to go up. Praise and worship is going. And I get up, and the pain shoots in, and I stop. And I kind of bend like this for a moment. And people think it's the Holy Ghost. And so people behind me be like, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And so I'm walking up there, and I'm in so much pain, and people are shouting. People are praising God. And I get up there, and I remember we had the pulpit, and I grabbed onto the pulpit, and I'm in agonizing pain, and people are going nuts. People are worshiping the Lord because they believe the Holy Spirit is touching me, and they're so excited. And if you don't know anything about that, look up Google or go onto YouTube, The Day the Squirrel Went Berserk by Ray Stevens, right? No. Yeah. I don't know. Look it up. The Day the Squirrel Went Berserk. It's a great song. I love that song as a kid. Don't do it right now. We're in service, but after service. The way God can use almost anything. And so as I'm up there, the Spirit of God begins to fall. Why? Because people are worshiping, and God inhabits the praises of his people. They may have started worshiping God because they thought on, let's just say, false pretenses. And I didn't correct them because I didn't want people to know I was hurting. And so as I'm holding on, the Spirit of God begins to fall in that place. And I remember just the Spirit of God came on me, and I just began, God is healing people in this place right now, in this place. God is healing you right where you are. Somebody's foot, their leg there is hurting. God is healing that right now in the name of Jesus. And just as soon as I said it, I thought, wait, my leg is hurting. That could be me. And then I put my weight on it, and I'm like, oh, it's healed. And I just went nuts on the stage. And people were like, look at what God is continuing to do. Had no idea that I just had a supernatural healing on stage right in front of them. Something the doctor told me would never get better. Never get better. You have destroyed it without surgery. You're done. And God supernaturally healed me. I've had the question asked to me, why do we see in foreign nations, third world countries, the healing power of God more than we do in America? I don't think we really do. One, I don't think we talk about it as much as they do. And two, I believe they're in a place of necessity where we're not. And they have to rely on God for more things than we do. And so, no, I believe God is moving and healing in America just as much as he's moving anywhere. But what are the people putting the demand on? Oh, that's good stuff. But again, we're focusing on healing this morning. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I may call this man a leopard. Because sometimes I call him the cat when it's a leper. But, I don't know. In the South, we don't really make much distinguish between the cat and the disease. So if you hear me say leopard, you know what I'm talking about. Leper. And so Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down and saying unto him, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. I want you to understand that and pay attention to that part. Underline it in your Bible. Put a star beside it if you need to. Whatever you do to take notes. If you're taking notes, I believe you should. Following along with me. And if it's in digital, highlight it, whatever you do. But he put forth his hand and touched him. I believe that's a very bad translation. We'll get into that soon. But put forth his hands and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed him and he was clean. Can I tell you something? When you got leprosy in the biblical days, your life was over. If you were married, your marriage was over. You were unclean like that. It was immediate cause for divorce. You were never allowed to see your spouse again. You were never allowed to see your children again. You were never allowed to work again. You were never allowed to be in a society again. Why? Because leprosy, there was no cure. And it was a very spreadable disease. And if somebody got it, their life was over. And we won't go into detail. You know, it's a flesh-eating disease. And it would slowly eat your flesh. And the people, what they experienced was just, I mean, just imagine your skin rotting off of you. Smell, feel, all of it. It was terrible. And their life was over. They were not allowed to be around people that were not unclean. So now all of a sudden they're with unclean people. Leprosy people were only allowed to hang out with other leopards. Other spotted cats. They were only allowed to hang out with cats. And so they were only allowed to hang out together. They were not allowed to be in public. If somebody was coming or they got close to somebody that didn't have the disease, what did they have to do? They had to yell out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Could you imagine having to yell that out for all the other stuff you've done or had, mistakes, sins, anything? I mean, how demeaning. That those people, if you would say, what are you good at? They would not have raised their hand. There would have been nothing that they would have been good at. They would have said, nope. I mean, that had to be so demeaning as a human being to yell out all the time. Could you imagine if you were fighting the flu or had influenza and you're in public, you go to the mall, influenza, influenza, influenza. I wish some of them would because their children need to stay off the play area because they give it to all the other kids. I won't let my kids play because they got sick after they, I'm like, uh-uh, you ain't touching that stuff. All the unclean people are touching it. No, let's keep going. But could you imagine having to yell that out? I'm so thankful God has mercy and grace on our lives. Because could you imagine having to yell out your sin if you made a mistake? I don't know why my mind went there, but that would be terrible. That would be just a horrible thing. Thank God, God gets involved in our lives and will take the unclean and make it clean. Will take our sins and make us clean. Take our sicknesses and make us clean. Get rid of any foreign object that should have never been in your body. That's really what it comes down to. A foreign object that should have never been in your body, God will make it clean. So let's go even to this. In sin, there was a foreign object that was in humanity that should have never been there. He never designed us to operate in a fallen and sinful world. God came in to cleanse us and make us whole. And he is not only the creator of us spiritually, but he is the creator of us physically. Not only can he heal our heart, he can heal our soul. He can heal our flesh. There is whole denominations that teach that this was a gift that he used only to prove that he was the Son of God. And today it is done. And there's denominations that believe that healing died out with the last disciple. Well, I thought that they kept multiplying. And if they go upon, I can almost agree with that to a degree because we're all disciples of Jesus Christ and we haven't died out yet. So healing is still for today. And how terrible that he would give the early church a gift that he wouldn't give the rest of us. I mean, like, that's nice. And people come up with good reasons in their own head. Well, because, well, they needed proof. Well, they still need proof. They're still rejecting him. What would make us think they needed proof then and they don't need proof now? Jesus said when he died, he came back and for 40 days. People saw him. Was that not proof enough? Okay, anyway. But the giftings are still in operation today. They did not die out. Did y'all turn to Mark 1? All right, Mark 1, we read all that, compassion. Did I read verse 4? Yes, I did. So this is the I got three questions I want to ask you this morning. One, why is Jesus the physician? Why is he the physician? Why did he even say that name? Matthew 14, you can write this down. Matthew 14 and 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed the sick. Why? Because he loved them. Jesus healed the sick because he loved them. Can I tell you something? Every good gift you have in your life is because Jesus loves you. I remember I had somebody ask me, now this was before I was enlightened as I am now, and you give me 10 more years, I'll be more enlightened than I am today. I will have a growing revelation of the Lord and his goodness. But I remember a great blessing came into my life, and I had a minister ask me, he said, Tim, why did you get that? And I said, well, you know, God's goodness, he's great, and I've been fasting and praying and believing and all this, and God has fulfilled his word. He said, yeah, those are all good things, but he says, that's not why he did it. And so I wanted to be like, well, you asked the question, then why don't you give me the answer? And he said, well, it's because God loves you. It's because God loves you. I'm like, all right, whatever, you're a little hippie freak, whatever. Be like, all this, you know, whatever. Yeah, God loves me. But I did the right stuff. I was still into works. But can I tell you something? We go back to Paul. If it's works, it's all works. It's all works. And if it's grace, it's all grace. Grace can't be grace if it's works. And so God heals us because he loves us. He loves us. And I do want to say this too. I didn't get too much into the medical deal. God does heal medically. And we almost frown on that. We're almost like, you didn't have enough faith. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Don't discount what God does medically. We have come leaps and bounds. There is knowledge and wisdom that I am so thankful for. I had a kidney stone a while back. I don't remember. And they gave me morphine. Can I tell you something? I was very thankful when that hit my bloodstream. They put a little, I was like, whoa, that pain is gone. Thank you very much. And when he put that on me, I remember he asked me a question. The doctor asked me a question. And I answered him. And he kept staring at me weird. And then it hit me. Oh, yeah, I got to open my mouth to answer him. And so then I had to think really hard to use words. And I'm like, it was funny. It was funny because even while it was going, I told him, I said, what is the street name of this? And he goes, morphine. I'm like, thank you. And so it was funny. He was a good doctor. I really enjoyed him. It was amazing. I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for CAT scans. I'm thankful for all this stuff. We don't discount it because, I mean, it all came from God to begin with. The technology, the knowledge, everything that is created. You know, I had this conversation with my daughter. Well, Daddy, God didn't create everything. I said, well, yes, he did. You go, well, what about our home? He didn't create that. I said, no, but he created the stuff that we put it together with. And when I say we, I mean the people who know what they're doing, not me. And she goes, oh, well, I guess. And I'm like, no, you don't guess. Without him, there are no trees to make 2x4s. God gives us all these things. We can have fun with it. We can make jet skis or snowmobiles for people in this place that enjoy that kind of stuff, who break ribs, right? And so, you know, that happens. It happens. But we get to have fun with the stuff. We can be ridiculously awesome or ridiculously dangerous with the stuff that he makes. But it's him who made the stuff that we make the stuff from. And I think he wants us to be creative with his creation and do things that bring us great pleasure, like fast cars. Yeah. Or for some of you, shoes. I don't know why, but that brings some of you people pleasure somehow. But God made all this stuff, and without him, there is nothing. There's nothing without his creation. And so God has given us knowledge. He's given us wisdom. He's given us the ability to use certain things that are good for us. So never discount medical healing. Never, ever discount that. And so Jesus had compassion on the sick, and that's why he is our healer. Now, I do want to give you a couple things that Jesus is not. He's not a sensationalist. He never healed to prove he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He actually healed people and told them, keep your mouth shut. Now, they didn't, just like you wouldn't have, but they didn't keep the mouth shut. If Jesus would have healed me and told me, be quiet, I'd be like, I'll be quiet till I get back where you ain't in earshot. I'm going to tell people the Savior touched me and I am healed. That's what happened. Why did he do that? Now, most theologians I've read on certain things, they believe that the reason he told people not to tell is because his time wasn't there. It said in the Bible, because they were jealous or envious of Jesus, they killed him. And I think the reason why not to tell was so that his fame wouldn't have gone out. And the religious people, they'll kill you. They'll kill you and tell God you died. They'll act holy about it. They'll act like they're doing something good. I mean, like they'll nail you to the cross with a smile on their face. That's religious people. And, you know, religion will kill you. It will hold you in chains. And Jesus told people, hey, don't go out and tell anyone. They did it anyway. But he told them not to. So we know Jesus wasn't using healing to prove he was the Son of God. Or otherwise, he would have said, hey, here's a microphone. Go out and tell everybody. Go to your synagogue. Go tell your neighbors, hey, I'm having a meeting tonight. Why don't you bring people out to it? Nothing wrong with inviting people. But Jesus's purpose was not to heal people to make people know who he was. He's healing people because he had compassion. He loved them. And can I tell you something? The first time he healed someone that we have recorded in the Bible in his flesh was not the first time he healed someone. That's the first time he healed someone as a man. He said, I don't only do things that I've seen my Father do. God healed people well before Jesus was in flesh on this earth. But he healed people because he loved people, not because he was sensationalist. Now, let me say this too. Jesus did not heal people because he was a confessionalist. Now, I believe in confessing the word. I confess the word all the time. But I got into a mentality in the word of faith that my healing came because of my confession. Your healing doesn't come because of your confession. It's good to line yourself up with the word of God. Confess the word. Confess the word. I am pro confessing the word. Just had a conversation this week with someone who said, was talking about prayer and how it affects them more if they can hear what they pray and not just in their head. Why? Because I believe the word responds to the spoken word. The promises of God respond to his spoken word. Environments respond to speaking. I mean, science has proven this, that water tension will contract and detract based on words. Music, words that are good, words that are peaceful, that water relaxes. When it is harsh, when people holler at things and get mad, water tenses. Now, the crazy thing is, we're what, 80, 90% water? What does that do to our body when we're yelling or angry all the time? Our people are around us and we're harsh. Have you ever walked into a room and you sensed something was wrong, that there was tension in the air? The words create environment. Everything around you, paneling, wood, chairs, everything responds to the spoken word. Now, I'm not dissing spoken word of confession. I believe you should have a confession. I believe you should confess things about yourself. Jesse said, I talk about myself. Yeah, I confess things over myself. I look in the mirror and I confess things. I confess the truth. I confess the word. I claim the word over myself. And I think you should do the same. But that is not why you are healed. You are healed because of his promise, and you are healed the same way you're saved. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. And Jesus is not a dispensationalist. A lot of times people will say something died out. We've talked about that, but they'll say it died out with Jesus. Healing was only here for 3 years and it died out with Jesus. No, it did not. Healing power of God is still here today. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures to you. You write these down. Matthew 4, I'm going to read through 23 through 24. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him sick people that were taken with divers diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Matthew 8 and 16, when the evening was come, and they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, he cast out the spirits. Now, do not associate devils with sickness, like you got to be possessed. The church made that mistake in the 80s, at least in the United States, and they tried to cast devils out of everything. If you sneezed, you had a devil. Oh my goodness, I sneeze three times every time I sneeze. I don't know what, that's leadership right there. People who sneeze three times, they are leaders, not devils. It's a leader. I would have been in a mess load of trouble if I would have sneezed around religious. Religious people are weird. And he healed them all. Let's look at Luke 4 and 40. And when the sun was setting, and they all had any sickness with divers diseases, brought unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Luke 16, 17 through 19. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea of Tyrus. All right, and we'll keep going. 18. And they waxed vexed, unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Now, we said, why is Jesus a physician? Because he loves us. He has compassion on people. The second question is it his will to heal? This is what the guy asked him. He said, if thou wilt. Christians 2,000 years later are still asking the same question. God, if it is your will. I got told, there, can I tell you something? Religious people make up answers when they don't have answers. Why did so-and-so die? God needed another angel in heaven. How many of you have heard that? How many? Okay, hands everywhere. There's nothing in the Bible that says you become an angel. To become an angel is a step down. It says that you are sons and daughters of God. That is the greatest position you can ever have with the Lord. Angels are not sons and daughters of God. They are angels ministering spirits. You are the son and daughter of the Lord Most High. To become an angel is a step backwards for you. It's like if your daddy owned a business and you worked for him, they're like, one day, daddy, I'll just be an employee. No! You can still work for him. Don't be an employee. Get those benefits. Now, some of your fathers and mothers were not Christians and had whatever in their life, or maybe they were Christians and they were mean to you and they were hard to you and they didn't give you any benefits. That's not the Lord. You're supposed to work hard. You got to get a good work ethic. Your dad probably expects more of you. That's what they wanted to have happen. But every once in a while, you're supposed to have longer lunch breaks because you are. Your daddy owns the whole place. You know, your daddy owns the whole place. There's certain benefits. I got free Coca-Colas. My granddaddy owned a gas station in a little tiny store. And little free Debbie cakes and free candy and free peanuts. Peanuts and Coca-Cola. That was like my favorite. And then those big old pickles that come in the jar. I didn't eat the pickled eggs or the pickled pig's feet. Those are nasty. But the pickled pickles, those were delicious. And I got to tell you something. Pickles and a Dr. Pepper, that is a great snack. Try it if you don't believe me. Did someone say, No, that is delicious. That and a Coke, those things are delicious. But anyway, my grandfather owned the whole joint. I got special privileges. I also got paid better than everybody else. And so there are benefits. There are benefits of being a son and daughter versus being just an employee. There are benefits from it. So there's no biblical connection to God needed another angel in heaven. But we make that lie. And you know what happens? It sounds good. Adults, we just kind of like, yeah, that's nice. That's nice. That's a decent. It was just God needed them in heaven. No, he didn't. You don't have an answer. So we made up something that sounds nice. Let me tell you what a kid thinks. Oh, God took my mama? Fine. I hate him. I hate him because I wanted my mama. And so we made up a lie, and it actually hurts the body then helps the body. And so there are things that we don't have answers to, and that's okay. We don't need the answer for everything. And I'll have to tell you, I've had people come to me and ask questions, and I tell them, I don't know, maybe an acceptable answer for this. I don't know, may have to be an acceptable answer because I I don't know everything. And God does things and things happen. Sometimes bad things happen because we live in a fallen world. We just live in a fallen world. And we live in a world of free will. And there are people that have done things that are horrible. There are things that we have done. And thankfully, there are times we probably should have died for some of the stupid decisions we made. But thank God for His grace and His mercy that has kept us. And so we're still asking the same stupid question, God, is it your will to heal me? Now, I want to read Mark 1 and 40, but I want to read it out of the Passion Translation. We read it out of the King James earlier, but I want to read it out of the Passion Translation. Verse 40, and it says, "In one occasion, the leper came and threw himself down in front of Jesus, pleading for his healing." We're still doing that. Look across the churches across the world. They're coming to the altar. "Lord, if it be your will, oh God, please. Only if it be your will, Lord. Oh, if it be your will." And then people will tell you Paul had a sickness and he had the thorn in his flesh. Some people said it was that he was humpback. That ain't, we know what it is. The same scripture, if you keep reading, tells you what it was. It says he was buffeted. He was struck over and over. And we could read every town he went to, people hated him, tried to kill him. He's like, "Lord, this is getting old. If you went to three cities and they all tried to kill you, that'd get old real quick. But Lord, I am tired of people trying to kill me." And God said, "You're trying to be killed because you're preaching my gospel. I've saved you all three times. My grace is sufficient. I'm going to keep saving you. Just rely on me. Follow me. I got a plan for your life. If I be for you, can all these little jerks be against you? No, they can't. They may try to take you out, but I will keep being there. My grace is sufficient." And so it wasn't a sickness, but he's pleading to be healed. And verse 41 in the Passion, "Being deeply moved with tender compassion, Jesus reached out and touched the skin of the leper and told him, 'Of course, I want you to be healed. So now be cleansed.'" Now, God wants you to be healed. He has settled that on the cross. He settled that. He went around and healing all. He didn't say, nowhere in the scripture says, he went around healing all that it was his will to heal. He said, "I went around healing all," period. A-L-L. You want to know what that word means in the Greek? All in the Greek is all. It's very deep. It's all. Every one of them. Not one missing. All of them. He went around healing all. That's what he did. A-L-L, all. Look at your neighbor. Say, "All." Look at your other neighbor and say, "It means all." You have more understanding than most theologians right then and there. Now, this word "touch," it's the Greek word that means to attach oneself to, that is by touch. I believe Jesus reached out and hugged him. I believe he embraced, he attached himself. By definition, he attached himself. First of all, touching a leper. If you were clean, the Jewish law, if you were clean and you touched something that was unclean, what did that make you? Unclean. If there was a dead body and you were holy, you got, "Oh, holy, the Lord has touched you. You're holy, you're cleansed." You touch something was dead, you are now unclean. You touch certain animals, you were unclean. Oh, I am so thankful for God so I can eat bacon. Yes, I ate bacon Saturday and it was delicious. It was wonderful. It's the only reason you should eat eggs. Eggs are not good without bacon. Eggs are bland. You may throw a whole bunch of stuff, but I eat them plain. It's only good if there's bacon to throw on top of it. And thank you. I'm so thankful. There are a couple. I think if you wrap bacon on cardboard, I'd eat it. Bacon makes everything better. Steak is good. You throw bacon on it, it's better. Everything's better with bacon. Hamburger, better with bacon. Jalapenos, better with bacon. You wrap jalapenos in bacon and it is delicious. It is delicious. It's wonderful. Ham hock, yes, Lord. But you touch that stuff, you would be unclean. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus touched the unclean and made it clean. Jesus come to get on the inside of every one of us to stop the way the world did things. The world did things. You became unclean the moment you touched something that was unclean. And but Jesus made it that when those that were cleansed, those that gave their life to Jesus, they come into an unclean situation, they make it clean. Hallelujah. I want to give somebody some freedom here. Your sins don't make you unclean. You may have a habit that you're trying to get rid of. Let me tell you something. There is transformation in the gospel. Salvation without transformation is not salvation. You change in the image of his son. But it doesn't happen overnight. And when you make a mistake, it doesn't cause you to become unclean and unworthy of the love, the touching, and the blessing of God Almighty. He will bless you whether your life is right or whether it's a mistake that you have made the same day. I'll give you an instant. Now, this wasn't sin, and I believe most of you don't sin on a regular basis. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, if some of you do, the salvation is still working, and we're going to get you where you need to be. It takes time. You can't expect to look like somebody who's been in the gospel for 30 years overnight. There's still habits. I get cussed at all the time. People who just get saved, I love that. They don't know any better. I've had people drop the F-bomb around me and look me straight in the eyes. And then I've had people tell me, Pastor, and I won't say the word, we'll church it up. Stuff happens all the time. Look me right in the eyes and don't blink, because they were raised that way and that's normal to them. They don't even know that their language should change at some point in life. But they learn that, right? It's a process. But can I tell you something? I remember I was on a mission trip and I had no money. I've told this story before. I had no money. I had no food in the house. I had enough money just to pay for my trip over. And so I get there and I start to complain because the only thing I can find in the place that I'm living is bran. And not like American bran with sugar oats or something on top of it. This was just bran. It was just this nastiness. And I don't even know how long it was in there, but I was starving. And so I took a bite and I'm like, this is terrible. This is terrible. And so then I began, like the good Christian I was, began to talk to the Lord about things. Lord, did you bring me over here to die? Did you bring me over here? Yeah, I'm suffering for you, Jesus. I come over here for you, and you're going to let me starve? Is that the way your kingdom works? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful I followed you. Thank you, Jesus. You're more than enough. I need some food. And so as I'm complaining, I get a phone call, a Skype message from the secretary that I had, and I answered the phone. And she said, how are you doing? I said, I'm hungry. And she had one of my favorite sandwiches from one of my favorite sandwiches place. And she brings a sandwich on the screen. She goes, ooh. And she bites it and she laughs. And then food is falling out of her mouth because she's laughing at me. And I am not thinking this is funny. I'm starving. And I look at her and I says, I'm going to have to call you back. And I hang up on her. And I'm like, Lord, oh my goodness, if I wasn't angry, I am now. I am hot now. I mean, I'm in a country that has plenty of money, and I come over here to preach the gospel to them, and I'm dying of starvation. How long am I on a forced fast, Jesus? What's going on here? Well, it wasn't too much longer. I'm still complaining to God, and she calls me, and she says, hey, I want to tell you something. The bank just called. Somebody just did an automatic deposit into your account. And she even named the people. She said, do you know these people? I'm like, no, I don't know them. But she got in contact with them later. They heard me preach at a church. They were looking for me to send something. They got a hold of my mom and got all my information and just did a wire transfer. And I was upset that they blessed me. And this was the worst thing because I looked at God, you know, hey, Lord, if you would have gave me 10, 15 minutes, I'd have got over this. If you would have give me just a little bit more time, I would have got over all this mess, and at least I'd have felt like I deserved it. And when I said it out loud, I mean, like, I don't deserve anything. I never deserve it. But in my mind, I would have confessed. I would have had the right confession. I would have did the right works. I would have had something that was unclean in my life, a thought process that was not right, and I would have got over it, and I would have deserved it. I would have deserved it. And God doesn't bless us because we deserve it. He doesn't heal us because we deserve it. He heals us because of his grace, his mercy, his compassion for humanity. His compassion. And again, I said, how do we accept it? The same way we do salvation. My last question. We know it's his will. Why is Jesus a physician? Because he loves us. Is it his will to heal me? Absolutely yes. The third question, is he willing to heal me? Because that's the thing. I think most of the people in the body of Christ knows that it's God's will to heal. But the question is, will he do it for me? That's what this leper is coming to him saying. He's saying, God, I've heard your stories. I've heard how you were in Judea. I heard how you were in Bethlehem. I heard how you were in all these places and you healed people. But are you willing to heal me. Let me break this down to you. Lord, I should be further off than I am. I should know you. My relationship should be better. I shouldn't drop the F-bomb in traffic or at my kids, or I shouldn't be doing drugs or looking at what I'm looking at online, or talking how I'm talking, or doing all this stuff. Lord, I shouldn't be doing this. I should be further along in my walk with you. I should treat my husband, my wife, my kids better. I know better. And I don't measure up, Lord. I know your will is to heal, but will you heal someone like me? That's truly the question this guy is asking. Will you? I'm not worthy. Well, guess what? Join the club. No one is. No one is. Jesus heals us not because we are worthy. He heals us because he loves us. That is why he heals us. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for healing power in our bodies.